You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
And we are coming live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. If you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family, Rocket can. I'm going to be hanging out here with you for the next 2 hours. Thank you to you, every single person listening all across North America. You could be in Hawaii, you could be in Miami, you could be in Maine, you could be in Vancouver, you could be in Toronto, you could be in Calgary, or you could be in San Diego. You could be here in Atlanta, Georgia, hanging out with me. I appreciate you. Thank you oh so much to super producer and host Dave Shepard. Thank you so much to Alex here with us as well, helping to hold things down. If you want to give me a holler here at CBS Sports Radio, it's very simple. The number is 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. You can also find me online. I am on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, at JR Sport Brief. We've had a fun show so far. There's a lot that we've had to cover. We've talked about Fernando Tatis Jr. and his 80-game suspension due to PED use, or he tested positive. He says there was a proponent in his ringworm medication that caused him to test positive. And so there we have it. Ringworm medication. Okay, fine. We've heard it all. I want to believe him, but what does it matter? At the same time, Deshaun Watson made his first start tonight, albeit the preseason, for the Cleveland Browns. His suspension and how many games he plays or doesn't play is still up in the air. We had a great conversation with New York Giants legendary linebacker Jesse Armstead. He was able to come through and join us. He even gave us his thoughts on the Miami Hurricanes. Like myself, he was not a fan of the turnover chain. Running around with all those gimmicks when you are starting to lose and suck, it's like a waste of time. Well, let's have a turnover chain, even though we'll lose the game by, I don't know, 15 points. Sure. Real gimmicky. Right before the break, we talked about Lamar Jackson and his contract. Lamar has made it very clear that he is willing to go into this season on his final year of his deal, his rookie contract, if they don't come to a conclusion on a long-term deal. And so I've been taking your calls on that, 855-212-4CBS. And then as we continue on, I do want to share with you some comments made by Deion Sanders. We know Deion is always someone ready, willing, and more than able to speak his mind. And this time, he talked about the Hall of Fame. Deion Sanders pretty much said, the Hall of Fame is just letting everybody in right now. He sounded a little offended. I'm going to share that audio with you momentarily. We do have some callers who have been waiting patiently to get on the line. So let's go to Mike. He's calling from California. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Mike? What's going on with you?
Hey, what's up, JR? How you doing?
I'm very well. Go ahead.
Hey, man. I just wanted to talk about, you know, how you were saying that you weren't sure if Lamar should take that contract now, maybe a little less money, or actually go through with it.
I didn't say less money. I said whether or not he's playing too much of a dangerous game by not signing anything, and I think he is.
Yeah, I honestly feel like a lot of it has to do with just him not having an agent. You know, like you said, it's his mom, his family, and that probably has a lot to do with it. But I honestly think that this year they're doing something different there at the Ravens. Their O-line has improved a lot. They actually have, took Villanueva out, replaced him with, Moses, Morgan Moses. He's there now. That tackle is pretty good. You got Ryan Stanley on the other side. He was one of the best tackles, you know. And in 2019, when actually, you know, Lamar Jackson was good, it's because of his O-line. It's because they were good. They were one of the best. You know, their center now, you know, I think that Landenbaum, I think it's his name.
Yeah, but
I think that he's probably.
But here's the thing, though. Those guys that he played with were solid. I mean, and they were solid for years. The difference right now, you just named Ronnie Stanley. He was hurt the last time I checked, or at least coming off of an injury. And it's the same thing. Linderbaum is the guy that they drafted. I remember doing – Zach Gelb and I covered the draft, and we covered every pick in Las Vegas. And I remember vividly when Linderbaum was selected, Lamar Jackson was just on social media, you know, tweeting like, what are we doing type emojis. And then he's like, oh, I'm not out here dissing my own guy. And then even Linderbaum is dealing with an injury. And so we can look at the additions to the offensive line. What does it matter as of right now if they're not healthy? It'll take some time. Sure. I wouldn't be all that confident in them out the gate.
Yeah, well, I think you're right. You know, it's going to take some time for them to actually be acclimated. And if they're not healthy, well, there's no hope for it. But, I mean, if they actually stay healthy the whole year, I mean, with Lamar, he's probably not going to be running. I mean, he's going to have to actually run more. I don't even think J.K. Dobbins and Gus Edwards are coming back soon, you know, from their injuries. So there's not really going to be anyone running back other than Mike Davis and Batty. And, you know, that's a rookie. You know, Tyler Batty's not really going to do much. So he's going to have to take the bulk of the load with Mark Andrews. So they're going to have to either throw it really short, throw it fast, or run it. And so their line has to step up. I honestly think that's the only way that he's going to survive.
Sounds like the story of his career. I mean, let's be real here. Lamar Jackson, when it comes down to the Ravens, he is their offense. The team is built around him. It is. Tyler Huntley, back up to Lamar. There's a reason. You don't have to change the game plan too much. RG3 was out there for a little while as his backup. Why? I don't want to say a similar skill set, but he can get out and go. The whole team is built around this man. Dustin is here from Alabama. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Go ahead.
What's up, JR? On the Lamar thing, I think he needs to get out. Just either get out or get paid.
Get out or get paid. Get out as in, like, leave the team?
I mean.
Oh, well, damn. He got sucked into some type of black hole out in Alabama. Let's go to Michigan and talk to Josh. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, man, I got a couple of things here. So I agree, though, that if Lamar, if it's as bad as he was last year, and granted, I know they had a lot of injuries, all right, but if the team's as bad as it was last year, get out. Don't sign this year. See how the season goes, but get out. There's no point. And here in Michigan, I mean, obviously you might not know, but there's a couple of murmurs. Jared Goff doesn't work out. The Lions throw the bag at him.
Well, we've known from the minute that Jared Goff was brought into the Lions that he was not going to be a long-term answer unless he just upped his game. There's a reason why they didn't want him in Los Angeles anymore and why they shipped him out to the Lions. And unless he has a massive showing, he's going to be on out the door. So there's no big surprise there. When it comes down to Lamar Jackson, the team stunk. Yes, yeah, sure, they had to deal with injuries. A big portion of their season was up and down and dramatic comeback victories, and a lot of times led by Lamar. It was a tightrope. Now, having said that, they really started to hit the skids at the end of the season when he was hurt, when he went down, when you knew that he was gone. Here's the other element. He's not in a space to just leave. He's not a quote-unquote unrestricted free agent. Why? Because the Baltimore Ravens, if they don't come to an agreement, they're going to tag him. They can tag him for two more years, two more seasons, 2023, 2024. That's it. So if Lamar Jackson doesn't come to an agreement with his contract, he just can't walk away and say, hey, guys, I'm leaving. What is he going to do? Wake up and pull a Kevin Durant? It's not the NBA, no. You can't force a power play in the situation. Not by any stretch of the imagination. But this is all true. If he had a traditional agent, would we have a deal by now? Maybe. But when you look at the numbers, I can certainly imagine what he wants. I need 46 to 50. I want my entire contract guaranteed. Where we fall in on that is pretty much that's all debatable. Alex is calling up from Virginia. You're on CBS Sports Radio, the JR Sport Reef Show. What's up, Alex?
Hey, JR. Thanks for taking my call. I got two things for you on the Lamar Jackson tip. I think you should hold out, but still take a contract next year because inflation is going to do a monster number on his numbers, given 4 or 5 years. You think about Pat Mahomes' contract, his $45 million a year is going to look like pennies in 10 years.
Well, if you want to think about it, Lamar kind of has waited, and so far it has worked out in his favor. You are correct. If you look at Patrick Mahomes, Pat got 45, and everybody went, whoa. Well, since then, Patrick Mahomes got 45, and then you look at Aaron Rodgers, he's now getting 50, and Kyler Murray's getting 46, and Watson's getting 46. So the market has been set, and the next big guys to get the major cash, and this will probably happen next offseason, and this is why Lamar's probably not in a rush, but it still makes it dangerous. Justin Herbert is going to make bank. Justin Herbert will probably go past the 50 mil per that Aaron Rodgers is getting, and you can probably say the same thing about Joe Burrow.
Absolutely.
It's really just a matter of
–
well, hold on. It's just a matter of how much money does he really want? Is he going to, squeeze some pennies and say, man, I need to be 53, or am I okay with 48? That's what we're talking about here. And it's just how much money he wants to put in the bank. I think it's more so about the guaranteed cash and less about what he might get per year. What else do you got?
I think really agree with the AAV should be big, but the guarantee is a big number for him and his family.
Yes.
And his friends. The last thing I wanted to say is that I called in a couple weeks ago and made a bad joke about Basketball Jones, and I wanted to apologize.
You made a joke about who? The film?
You asked for the best basketball movies of all time, and I made
right.
a bad joke about Basketball Jones, and I want to apologize. And I thank you for taking my call that night, and I thank you for taking my call this night. You got a great show.
Well, thank you,
thank
Alex.
You
appreciate you. Thank you for calling from Virginia. Hey, Shep, do you remember what he's talking about?
No idea.
Okay.
Basketball Jones, I have no clue what he's talking about.
Yeah, I know. Did we talked about movies at some point a few months ago.
Not Basketball Jones.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, well, he said he's sorry. I didn't get into details with him, so this is all that matters. Anyway, Steven is calling from Baltimore. What's up, Steve? You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Thank you, JR. I just wanted to say people don't remember when Joe Flacco betted on himself and won the Super Bowl and then got paid the highest quarterback in the league, and he probably wasn't worth it at the time, but I think with Lamar, I'm a total Ravens fan, that it's more about he wants to be paid as one of the top quarterbacks in the league, and the amount of money he generates, he's brought a new generation of young football fans, particularly inner-city youth who, haven't been attracted to football, but now are wearing his jerseys all across the country, so, I don't understand Steve Bisciotti not just laying a number down to him that just, opens his eyes and say, okay, I'll sign on the dotted line, because whatever amount he gets paid is not the amount that he brings in for the Ravens, for the NFL. So, this man, to me, should be at least top three in the league.
Well, I will agree with that. And thank you, Steve. When it comes to the top players in the game, any place, how many of them, and I guess you have to be a superstar, how many players actually get what they're actually worth? If you think about LeBron James and his strictly basketball contract, sure, he makes more money away from the court. But if you think about his basketball deal, no matter if it's $40 million or $50 million, as a basketball player for his contract, LeBron James is underpaid. And we know Lamar Jackson, as a football player, especially for where he was drafted at number 32 overall, he's been underpaid as well. Are they going to look at it as, oh, man, this next contract is supposed to make up for where I got drafted and what I got and what I didn't receive? I don't think the Ravens are so much worried about, oh, man, we are not going to pay Lamar. It's just the guarantees. The Browns set the precedent. All fully guaranteed deal for Deshaun Watson. Kyler Murray didn't even get his full contract guaranteed. 160 out of 230 is guaranteed. So what does that mean for Lamar? Is he going to say, I need everything guaranteed? Or is he going to settle for, I don't know, $200 million out of his contract guaranteed? Let's look at it this way. One day, we will all get up, and I assume there will be a flash on the screen. Ravens and Lamar agree to XYZ deal. And they're going to be people who look at the Ravens as absolutely stupid for giving him the deal. They're going to go, oh, well, Lamar's going to get hurt. And in Lamar's case, people will look and say, oh, that's the deal he got. He got robbed. So if and when they do come to any type of contractual agreement, be prepared for the argument on both sides. Because I can't remember a football player who kind of just was, I don't want to say controversial, but a football player who evokes such strong emotions as Lamar Jackson. Grayson is calling from South Carolina. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Grayson?
How's it going, man?
I'm excellent. What's on your mind?
I'm a huge Carolina Gamecocks fan, man, so transition to college football.
That stinks.
Just wanted to know what you thought about Carolina Gamecocks' chances this year, man. We got Spencer Rattler now transitioning from Oklahoma, and we got a couple of good, you know, weapons staying in town, and we got a couple of good weapons transitioning from out of town. So I just wanted to think about your chances.
Man, Grayson, I'm not going to sit here and lie. The Gamecocks have sucked for so many years right now. I mean, I haven't watched the game. When I watch a game, they're getting their ass whooped. You named the reasons, you gave the reasons to be optimistic, but what that turnaround looks like, I'd rather just see it happen. I don't expect anything, man.
You don't expect anything at all with Spencer Rattler, man?
No, it's not that I don't expect anything with Spencer Rattler. What I'm telling you is, based on their past history, I don't know what to expect because they've stunk. They've gotten better last year. What'd they do, go 500 just about?
Yeah, but you gotta think about we haven't had a quarterback in 10 years just about it since really Steven Garcia, and before that, I mean, we had AR, but I mean we haven't.
So
really,
let's think
one,
about
we really had anybody.
Let's think about this. If I have to look at all the teams in the SEC, what are you expecting? Are they now going to be better than the dogs? Are they going to go out there and be better than Alabama? The answer is no.
Oh, absolutely not, man. But, I mean, you know, okay. with Georgia in the East, you mean, it's going to be hard to beat them. But if we can get a couple seasons of momentum, you know what I mean, in the East, I mean, the only people we got besides Georgia really is Kentucky and Tennessee. And, I mean, they really don't have any consistency either, you know.
So, but here's the thing, though. If I have to think about the college football playoff, if I have to think about the SEC and you're asking me about the Gamecocks – man, I don't have an expectation. I'm expecting them to continue to do what they've done. What, instead of seven games, what are they going to win, nine games? I don't know. I'm going to watch just like everybody else. But to tell you that I'm going to have a massive expectation based on past history and Spencer Rattler coming in, yeah, it's nice. I'm excited to see what they do. But what I look at, man, I'm here in Atlanta. I'm looking at the dogs. I'm looking at the teams that are getting ready to go to the playoff, and everybody else is a nice story. And so, yeah, if Spencer Rattler can go ahead and adjust and pick his game up and everything can rise around him, then good for the Gamecocks. But I'm looking at the big dogs, the ones that play down the road for me in Athens. It's the JR Sport Brief Show here with you on CBS Sports Radio. We're going to take a break. And when we come back, speaking of big dogs, a Hall of Famer has opened up his mouth, and he said what a lot of folks have thought, that the Hall of Fame in the NFL, the Pro Football Hall of Fame, is being watered down. I might be able to say the same thing about the Basketball Hall of Fame, the Baseball Hall of Fame. When we come back, you're going to hear from Deion Sanders. It's the JR Sport Brief Show right here, CBS Sports Radio.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
First off, I just want to say mad respect for your show. You always got a lot of good points. I agree with a lot of things you say.
I just want to say I love your show. Me and my grandpa listen to it every night.
I needed it a JR fix tonight, and I'm glad that you're on.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
I love it. The JR Sport Brief Show, it's a family affair. Sitting at home, you're sitting at work, you might as well share it with somebody. I appreciate that. Listen, speaking of sharing things, Hall of Fame, exclusive, the best of the best. Think about legends. You think about just individuals who have gone above and beyond what their peers have been able to do, what they've been able to accomplish. And so, of course, Deion Sanders is, there's no argument there. He is one of the best football players who has ever lived. He's an exclusive company. He is one of the best ever. Well, Deion Sanders happened to be sitting in his office. Deion Sanders happened to be recorded at a point in time by well-off media. Deion Sanders happened to be just talking about the Hall of Fame. We know that this past Saturday, the NFL had its inductions. And I wouldn't say it was the most sterling of a group that went in. Tony Boselli, Cliff Branch, Leroy Butler, Sam Mills, Richard Seymour, Bryant Young. That was the player class. Well, Dick Vermeil went in as a coach. But the players, who out of the folks that I just named, who's that marquee superstar name? If I have to think about the Hall of Fame class that went in 2021, Alan Faneca, okay, fine. But then you got Calvin Johnson. You have I Hit Everything That Moves, John Lynch. You had Peyton Manning as a part of that group. Charles Woodson, Steve Atwater went in, Drew Pearson. And so there was really no gigantic doubt about those names. And so without naming any names, this is what Deion Sanders had to say about the Hall of Fame and the people who get let in.
You know, I've been just having a conversation about the Hall of Fame, Bob, Jock, you know. And the conversation is that the Hall of Fame ain't the Hall of Fame no more. I love it, I respect it, I admire it. I think all the guys who are inducted definitely are deserving, but it needs to be a different color jacket. My jacket gotta be a different color. It need to be a starting 11. Yeah. It need to be an upper room. My head don't belong with some of these other heads that's in the Hall of Fame. Put my head, what they call them, bust? Well, bust. I call it the head.
Bust.
Put my head. Do that. Put my head where my head supposed to be. My head don't supposed to be by them. I'm sorry. I'm just being honest. I'm saying what y'all thinking, and a lot of y'all Hall of Famers are thinking the same thing. This thing is becoming a free-for-all now, man. If you play good, it ain't good. It's people that change the game. Yeah. That's what the Hall of Fame is. A game changer. Not, I played good. I had a good little run. I gave you 3-4 good years. No, dog. Game changers.
And, you know, Deion isn't the only person to speak up. Over the past several months, Bruce Smith, no doubt a Hall of Famer, Bruce Smith was chiding Tony Boselli, really, on his way into being inducted into the Hall of Fame. It's like, okay, Tony Boselli had a great spurt in a good 4 or 5 years with the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then injury smashed around his career. And it's like, whoa, Bruce Smith is destroying Tony Boselli, and he's getting in. And so you have guys who are already in the Hall of Fame starting to really rip apart guys who are about to be inducted. And I get it, because I do agree with Deion Sanders. If I have to look at this Hall of Fame class and some of the names that got in, okay, we're adding, what, longevity to the list? Are we looking at guys who had phenomenal short-term careers in a Tony Boselli? It's tough. And I feel like, oh, my God, we're just putting guys in to put them in. I would agree. If I have to look at something like the Basketball Hall of Fame, it's not the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. You got to look at what guys have done, and women, overseas. You take into account their contributions to their country. You take into account just college and everything that they've done. Think about this. Manu Ginobili going into the Hall of Fame. And this is this year, a couple of weeks. Manu Ginobili, Tim Hardaway. Shout outs to Swin Cash. I'm going to reach out to Swin and get her on the show. We'll make that happen. If I have to think about recent years, Chris Bosh, Hall of Fame. Tony Kukoc, Hall of Fame. Man, Ben Wallace went in. Chris Webber. There's names that
Ralph
you
Sampson.
Look. Say again, Shep.
Ralph Sampson.
Yeah, well, what year was that? Was that last year that he went in?
No. I want to say 2-3 years ago.
Yeah, there's names that get put in where you just go, huh?
Oscar Schmidt, right?
Well, you have to you look at the totality of their career as
yes.
well as where they came from and what they contributed to the game with their country. And so we have a lot of international players. Let's look at someone bigger than Oscar. What about Yao Ming? Yao Ming did not go into the Basketball Hall of Fame because of his contributions with the Rockets, albeit amazing. He went in because of his overall contributions when it comes down to the relations between basketball and China and what he meant to the game and just globally what
JR,
he meant.
Is George Karl, Rick Adelman, are they Hall of Fame head coaches?
Only because of longevity.
Right, right.
Picking up wins for 20-plus years, that's it. And so Hall of Fames, they are open. And now that we've gotten into, in the case of the NFL, more than 100 years, now that we're in the case of the NBA, okay, 75, 76 years, just the mark for getting in it's not the same. And I'll agree with Deion Sanders. The Hall of Fame, in a general sense, specifically for football, is like, damn, it's the Hall of Good. And so I can understand being a Hall of Famer, being one of the best, and now you have peers going in and you're just like, wait a minute, that guy was good, but he wasn't the best. Now, here's the other end of it. Don't come across as bitter. Don't come across as, oh, my God, I was so awesome and they're letting him in. Just be happy that you were, that there's no other higher honor. And so let the guys who get in, let them have their shine. I don't think it's that damn big of a deal, but I will agree with what Deion Sanders said. The Hall of Fame for football, it's a little closer right now to the Hall of Good. And the Hall of Fame, if you have to make an argument for someone, a hardcore argument that they should be in, they probably weren't all that good. Well, not good enough. I'm going to take your phone calls. That's 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Do you agree with what Deion Sanders just said? Do you think the Pro Football Hall of Fame has gone from the Hall of Fame to the Hall of Good? Are they just letting anybody in? And is he making too big of a deal out of it? 855-212-4CBS. Your calls on the other side.
You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio. You're listening to the JR Sport Brief on CBS Sports Radio.
I'm a new listener, but a long-time radio personality over the years, and you're just enlightening.
Call in now at 855-212-4CBS.
That's right. It's the JR Sport Brief show on CBS Sports Radio. Right before we went to break, I shared with you audio by Deion Sanders. Deion casually in his office. Yeah, he casually sat down, but he wholeheartedly said this. He's like, hey, the Pro Football Hall of Fame is no longer the Hall of Fame. It's the Hall of Good. He basically said they're letting anybody in. And I must say, I agree with him. If I even think about the class that was inducted last Saturday, about a week ago, Tony Boselli, Cliff Branch, Leroy Butler, Sam Mills, Richard Seymour, Bryant Young. Man, those names, yeah, they're good. It's solid careers, but the names, at least the name recognition, they pale in comparison to the gentleman that went in last year. I'm not going to name the whole class, but how about Calvin Johnson, John Lynch, Peyton Manning, Charles Woodson? Big deal, right? Real big deal. 855-212-4CBS. That's 855-212-4CBS. Do you agree with Deion? Have they lowered the standards to get into the Hall of Fame? Is it now just the Hall of Good? Lucy is calling from Baltimore. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, JR. How are you doing tonight?
Very well. Go ahead.
So I do agree with Deion. So and also the game has changed a lot over the years. You can't even touch a quarterback anymore. So it's not the same game. It's a totally different game in the way that it's played now.
Well, and I mean but the individuals who have been selected, I mean, these are guys the dudes that I mentioned that were inducted right now are primarily from the 90s, the late 90s and 2000s.
Yeah, but they produced as well as others have.
Well, yeah, sure. Okay. There's no denying that. Jay is calling from Alabama. You're on CBS Sports Radio.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for taking my call. What I wanted to say was that I do agree with Deion, because it is getting dangerously to the point to where it's becoming the Hall of Okay. And the reason why I say that is because the players themselves don't actually, well, that's in the Hall of Fame, don't actually get a chance to vote for who's coming in.
That's right.
Something that's done by the media.
Correct. Yep, and there's representatives from every city that vote in the Hall of Fame members. You are correct.
And these are guys that look at numbers, not opposed to those that actually feel that they've made the impact to the game. So I think that's where it's becoming more dangerous, that these guys are now looking at more numbers and they are actually looking at the total impact that they put in on the game. And I had a real quick question for you. Do you feel that Eli Manning is a Hall of Fame quarterback?
I say yes, because of what he did in the postseason. That's it.
Okay, so you would give Eli Manning a Hall of Fame status off of 2 Super Bowls, but really just 6 games. He never led the league in touchdown. He never was in contention for an MVP. But just because he won those 2 Super Bowls, you consider him a Hall of Fame candidate.
I do, because it's not just those 2 individual games. It's his play that got them there. I know it's
6 games.
Yes, it's real easy to look at just those 6 games and say, hey, this is just the playoffs. I look at Eli Manning as someone who upped his game when it mattered the most. You can look at him as someone who was a average quarterback. he was a slightly above average quarterback. This man never missed a game. He was a consummate professional in everything that he did. People can look at him and say, oh, this is goofy this or goofy that. But there were very few quarterbacks that I've ever seen in the NFL that upped their game the way that he did when the games mattered the most. And so it's not just, oh, my God, here are the six games. But when you look at the totality of his career and what he did and who he beat, I believe he's Hall of Fame worthy. I wouldn't be mad if someone says, oh, my God, I don't think Eli's a Hall of Famer. There's a decent argument to be made. But in my opinion, his accomplishments and what he did is a rarity. We have a lot of times we have conversations about, well, this guy, he's good. In the case of Jimmy Garoppolo, people will tell you Jimmy Garoppolo, he led the team to the Super Bowl. And I would say, no, he didn't. He helped them out a lot. He was a key contributor. He didn't throw the game away, but he was there. Eli Manning was more of a driver, and he was more glued to the New York Giants, I think, than people ever realized. And you can see what the Giants have done post-Eli, and it ain't too good.
Thanks for the insight. Thanks for taking my call. Have a great night.
You as well, Jay. Thank you for calling from Alabama. Tim is calling from Maryland. You're on CBS Sports Radio. Do you think the Hall of Fame for pro football has gone to the Hall of Good?
Yes. I'll tell you something, JR. You know, I got to be honest with you, man. This isn't anything new, okay? This has been something that's gone on for a very, very long time. I mean, the thing that bothers me the most, and I'm a homer, I'm going to admit it, you know, the Hogs on the old Redskins, you know, there's only one of them in the Hall of Fame, which makes no sense to me. Joe Jacoby is one of the greatest offensive tackles in football, okay? And none of those other guys are in. I think Russ Grimm's the only one, okay? So having sports writers or whoever it is that decides who gets in,
it is writers,
has never made sense to me. Never. Okay, that just, it should be ex-players that know the game, that played the game, okay? And I've just, it's just always bothered me that, what did Deion say? He said, the players that changed the game. You're going to tell me the Hawks didn't change the game? Bill Walsh, the old coach from the 49ers, even said Joe Gibbs was one of the greatest coaches in the world because he started – he was the first one to get the biggest guys and the best, you know, the biggest guys for the offensive line. And you know, they weren't even the greatest players, but he made them great. You know, it was just, you know what I mean? And they went on for a long time playing great. And none of them are in the Hall of Fame except Russ Grimm.
Well,
I don't understand that.
At the same time, Joe Gibbs is in. He's been in there for a long time now at this point.
Well, of course Joe Gibbs is in. But, I mean, you know, the guys that were actually winning the games and out there, you know, making it happen should be in there too. I mean, Russ Grimm was an awesome, you know, player. But Joe Jacoby and the rest of those guys should be in too. Look how long it took Art Monk to get in. I mean, what was up with that? You know, I mean, I couldn't even believe he broke so many records. I couldn't believe it took him so long to get in the Hall of Fame. They got the wrong people making the decision who gets in and who doesn't. That's
okay.
Just my opinion.
All right. Well, thank you, Tim.
Thank you, Tim.
I appreciate you for calling from Maryland. Gary calling from Georgia. You're on CBS Sports Radio. What do you say, Gary?
I'm going to take a little bit different take on this. I agree with what you're saying, what Deion Sanders is saying. My problem with the Halls of Fame is basically this, and I've been a sports fan for over 50 years. If one is not good enough to get in the first year of eligibility, what makes them better the sixth year, seventh year, eighth year, tenth year? I guess what I'm trying to say is if you don't get in on that first year, I have a problem of you getting in at all.
Well, that's kind of different for every Hall of Fame. It's different. You're specifically referring to the Pro Football Hall of Fame because in all honesty, I don't think guys ever get dropped off of eligibility. People get nominated. There's like a vetting process. And then from there, the sports writers pretty much say, hey, you get in. I think it's about 80% of the vote after I think there's
– I'm thinking more probably about the Baseball Hall of Fame, even though I know you're talking about the Football Hall of Fame.
Right.
It almost seems to me that there's sort of a quota. You know, there may be some years that I guess it could be that no one really qualifies or meets those standards like Dion's talking about, the game changer, so to speak.
Yeah, I would.
You know,
I
they're going to have a Hall
agree.
Of Fame ceremony whether
if
someone fits or not.
Well, you did reference the baseball side, and there have been years where no one has gotten in. That has taken place. Now, on the NFL side, I'd venture to say that there are so many players that are eligible. So many players. The rosters are so large, and it's almost impossible, I'd say, to year after year not have anyone go into Canton. And so I don't think that's something that will change. Every league is different. Basketball, it ain't the NBA Hall of Fame. It's the Basketball Hall of Fame. So whether you contributed to the game internationally in some country outside of North America, or whether you just, I don't know, had great international career, you go in. In baseball, you get multiple tries. In the NFL, the media needs to vote you in. I'm going to take more of your calls on the other side. It's the JR Sport Brief Show, CBS Sports Radio, Hall of Fame.